You're listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with your host, Jay Taylor. If you have a question or comment about today's show, Jay would love to hear from you at 1-866-472-5790. That's 1-866-472-5790. You can also send an email to questionsfortaylor@gmail.com. That's questions, the number 4, taylor@gmail.com. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Turning Hard Times into Good Times. I'm your host, Jay Taylor, and I'm really pleased to have Doug Casey with me here once again. Doug is a highly respected author. I think most of you probably know him, but if not, he is highly respected as an author, publisher, and professional investor. And most importantly, from my perspective, he is a lover of independence he's a thinker. He's a great thinker, and he's a lover of freedom and liberty. And he understands the virtues of free market capitalism and how pathological government interference is when they interfere with our lives. He cherishes freedom, which is why I really love to have him on the show. I frequently receive short essays from Doug. Either Doug writes them or he has various other people that write them in Doug Casey's International Man Communique. They're always topics of interest and always relevant to whatever's going on in the world these days. One of them that I recently wrote was by that I recently read was by a writer for Doug named Jeff Thomas. He wrote on August 1st an article, Navigating the Fourth Turning. And since America is clearly now in what I think is the latest fourth turning in its history, which I see as like the fourth turning for our country, the first one being during the Revolution, the American Revolution. This is a very big event, a very big deal in my thinking. So I asked Doug if he would come on and be willing to talk and share some of his thoughts about what's transpiring here in America now in these days when it seems as though the liberties that we've taken for granted they are very rapidly being taken away from us, as it seems. Doug, thank you so much for agreeing to come on and sharing your thoughts with us today.
Oh, it's a pleasure to be back, Jay. It's a beautiful day here in Virginia, where I am at the moment. But I'm afraid that the political and economic and financial and social weather is not so pretty here in the U.S. or in the world. And it's going to get much worse as we approach the elections. In fact, talking about the fourth turning, I guess a lot of your listeners are familiar with that concept and that
yes.
book by Strauss and Howe.
Mm-hmm.
And a great book with a great way of interpreting history. Mm-hmm. But we truly are at the crisis point in the fourth turning, and anything could happen at this point. I mean, I'm very concerned and have been for a long time about the fact that as nasty as things got during the 60s, late 60s and early 70s, this is much worse.
Yes.
I mean, the people in red counties and blue counties, it's not just a difference of political opinions. This goes right to the root of what you think is good and evil. And
I agree.
It's a culture war.
Mm-hmm.
And it could literally tear this country apart, and we could find that the colors of the map on the wall start running, where anything is possible, from secession movements to actual violence. I don't know what's going to happen with the election. Any number of things could turn it ugly.
Yeah. You mean the interim elections that are coming up in November, and then, of course, the big one in 2024. Doug, before we go further, I want to ask you, because I get these emails all the time from you. Your weekly, I just say, Doug Casey's International Man Communique, and I wanted to tell our listeners where they could go to get on that list, and I couldn't figure it out.
I just
get them. So before we go further, I want people to know that. Where can they go to get on your mailing list?
I appreciate that, Jay. Just go to internationalman.com.
Okay. Okay, very good. Well, I know I've been receiving them for years, and I just I quit. I said, where do I go to get this? I don't know. So anyway, great. Okay. Well, yes, in that book, The Fourth Turning by Strauss and Howe, they point out that fourth turnings don't have to be bad. They can be good. I mean, we had a good one. Our first fourth turning in America is arguably the Revolutionary War, I think. And that was a good one. But then you have things like the French Revolution, which were just downright evil, you know, where people were denied their freedoms and had their heads cut off. But I wanted to ask you, Doug, if you see it this way, it seems to me that this is our fourth turning, the Revolutionary War being the first, the Civil War being the second, the Great Depression and World War II being the third, and now this one, which I think is sort of began to turn around 2008 with the financial crisis and with the election of President Obama. They were suggesting that it would, and it was written in 1997, that it would occur in the mid-2000s. So I don't know. I just leave it. When do you think this fourth turning began, and how deep are we into it?
Well, I don't think we've actually reached the real crisis point yet.
Yes, right.
The worst is yet to come. But let me, if I can, put this into some further context. When I look at American history, which is what that book, The Fourth Turning, and their previous book called Generations,
yes,
all about, excellent book. I recommend them both.
Uh-huh.
The way I see things developing is that from some points of view, the personal freedom point of view, American civilization really peaked about 1910. Because then in 1913, the Federal Reserve went into existence. The income tax came into existence. World War I locked the country down. And it's been a steady degeneration of personal freedom and a very, very steady growth of government in the U.S. For the last 120 years. Few Americans realize that before World War I, there were almost no federal taxes or almost no federal interference in your life. Mm-hmm. There weren't all these regulatory agencies. There was no income tax. The government generated the income it needed or wanted from basically, in fact, entirely, import duties and excise taxes. But now, from controlling a couple of percent of the economy, the U.S. government controls 50% or more, and 50% or more of the people in this country are net recipients of benefits from the government. Mm-hmm. That's a formula for disaster and chaos, and actually violence, too, because the people that are paying the bills don't like it. And worse, the people that are getting the goodies resent the people that are paying taxes and don't think they're paying enough. So I anticipate a real upset for the rest of this decade.
Yeah, it doesn't have to turn out bad. It's going to be rough no matter what happens is what I hear you saying. Michael Oliver was with us the first segment, and that was his take as well. He thinks it's going to get really rough, and then he looks forward to a new slate down the road. I don't know. You and I are pretty much the same age, Doug. I don't know. We hope to see a clean slate sometime and peace again. Maybe you could just go through what are the sort of characteristics of the four turnings. So these turnings are usually, well, they're generation long, so it's 20, 25 years or so for each turning, hence every four generations you have one of these major biggies like we're having now, the fourth turning. Just could you go through it a little bit? The first generation in the new turning, in the new cycle, is sort of peaceful, I guess. It's a good time to be alive, generally.
Well, I think the important thing in that Strauss and Howe book is that everybody's aware that things, it's like a pendulum going from liberal to conservative. And, of course, these words have been misused, too.
Oh, of course.
Used to be liberal meant freedom-oriented.
Mm-hmm.
Liberal comes from liberty. But The meaning of that word has been totally transposed. So, okay, that's fair enough. People see that parents, children revolt against their parents, and then when they become parents, their children revolt against them, and back and forth. Okay, that's fine. But the Strauss and Howe, I have break it into four parts, not yeah. just back and forth, liberal and conservative.
Right.
And the way it comes down, it has to do with the way the financial markets work,
mm-hmm.
Whether the country is ready for a war, wants a war. So it's a sociological thing as well. Now, defining there are four things.
I hate to categorize.
I hate to go into their book because I think that it's makes a lot of sense.
Yeah.
But the way I see it, we're actually on a long-term degenerative slide. So regardless of how this current crisis works out, the fundamentals of the country have eroded over time, where we have a gigantic amount of debt in the country, mm-hmm. which means some people owe a lot of money to other people.
Mm-hmm.
That's a time bomb that's ticking. The fact that the government is spending well over $1 trillion per year, more than it takes in from taxes, and taxes are high and going up. And what do? They sell that their debt to the Federal Reserve, which prints up money, literally, well, by depositing Federal Reserve notes in the U.S. government's accounts at commercial mm-hmm. banks, and then the government uses it to pay their bills. It's in almost every area of society, things seem to me to be coming unglued. Even in the military area, I'm not just talking about the fact that that wokeism has mm-hmm. overtaken the U.S. military,
mm-hmm.
but the fact that we're involved with combat troops from small to large agglomerations in over 100 countries around the world today.
Right, right.
I mean, right. sticking our nose into absolutely everything, sending, I don't know what the current number is, $60 billion to the Ukraine, which is actually it's hardly a real country, but it's certainly a black hole for funds. Joe and Hunter Biden have proven it's like a locus for washing money as opposed to anything else. Is there anything good going on in the economy right now? Well, stock market's doing well, but that's to my view, it's mainly a consequence of printing money, which has to go somewhere.
Well, for sure. And that's what keeps this market elevated and overvalued compared to anything historically. I'm going to go back a bit. Doug, you know, you mentioned 1910 and then World War One, the Fed and the income tax. We didn't have any income taxes until then. Before that, it was just excise taxes, taxes on tariffs, I guess.
Yes.
And so to what extent do you think that somebody wants wars, and who wants wars? Who benefits from wars? Look, I think why are we still doing what we're doing? We're in a stalemate with this Ukrainian thing, and all it's really done, the sanctions we put on, and all it's really done is caused us to pay for energy through the nose. It's caused, you know, food prices, all manner of problems, shortages on the supply side of the global economy. And then you, of course, add all this money that's pumped into the system to give people money that they can't pay for these higher prices of whatever is you know, out there in the market. But to what extent, I mean, it seems to me that there are people that profit from wars, and they like it that way. And I can't imagine how we can end this war right now, how we can It seems to me that we have to have wars to keep the cash registers of the military-industrial complex ringing, as Eisenhower warned us about. Any thoughts on that?
Well, it's been said that war is the health of the state, and it's true. There really is such a thing as a military-industrial complex, and I'll go further than that. There really is such a thing as a deep state. These are people that they're a class of professional parasites that live in and around the government, that inhabit the Beltway, the Washington Beltway, and a city that produces absolutely nothing except regulations that make it much harder for people to do anything out in the hinterlands, and produce new laws that they have to abide by and new taxes that they have to pay. So these deep state people, they're not all government workers. Some of them, it's heads of major corporations, exactly. Heads of universities, top media people. They're people that need state power to become more powerful and wealthier themselves.
Right, right. Yeah, there's a reason why that area around Washington keeps getting bigger, and the richest counties in the country are now around the Washington, D.C. area. Doug, you...
But it doesn't really matter whether we're talking about Democrats or Republicans.
No, I agree.
It's a uniparty state.
It's right. It is a uniparty state, and they're trying to make it a complete uniparty state, I think. I think that's what we're looking at right now. It seems to me they would like to make sure that there's no aggregation or no aggravating people around like a Donald Trump or any of us so-called deplorables, I guess. Any deplorables. We must get rid of them all, right?
Yes, and it's very disturbing the things that have been happening since the Biden people have been in office. I was no fan of the Bush administrations, either one of them.
Yeah, I know you weren't. No.
But frankly, these Bidenistas are overtly dangerous because they have the same psychological makeup and the same basic political philosophy as the Bolsheviks in Russia in 1917. They say the same things, or the Jacobins in France, or for that matter, the Red Guards that led Mao's great cultural revolution in China in the 60s, or for that matter, the kind of people that took over Cambodia under Pol Pot. I mean, these people all think the same, and they want to be in control. And I'm afraid that they'll do whatever they think they have to maintain control. And it's really dangerous because they have control of the apparatus of the state now.
Yes, they do. Yes. Yes. It's no accident that a CIA head can go before Congress and lie under oath and get away with it. It's pretty obvious right now that the entire apparatus, as you say, is now lockstep with this whole vision of a uniparty system where there's no dissent. But for that matter, you know, Doug, we never were supposed to be a democracy, were we? The word never appears in the Constitution. We were a republic. And now you see them wanting to dismember all of the safety guards that were in place that kept us from killing each other. I mean, if you have a democracy, 51% of the people can do whatever the heck they want to the other 49%, right?
Well, I've never been a fan of the democracy because it's really just mob rule dressed up in a coat and tie.
Right.
the government that governs least governs best. And I don't see how we can change the direction of this country where most of the people are living off the less and less members of the middle class are able to produce effectively. They're up against the wall financially. They're being, if they're successful, they go into the, it's one of the problems that we have, Jay, with the way the government works today is that this thing about a sham and people's rule and got a the sham of the people ruling and we have to defend our democracy. Actually, the government is run by agencies.
Right.
Actually have a life of their own.
Right.
And I'm especially concerned by what I call the Praetorian agencies, like the FBI, mm-hmm. or for that matter, like the CIA, which is a power unto itself that I'm sure generates in lots of ways hundreds of millions or billions of dollars for itself and its employees mm-hmm. offshore. Mm-hmm. Who knows what happens there? It's even happening with the military. On the one hand, it's becoming extremely woke, and on the other hand, you've got the special operations groups run out of places like Fort Bragg that actually live in a world of their own, pretty much the way the CIA does, mm-hmm. But under the cover of working with and around the government. So this United States that's evolving now is not the U.S. that we grew up in at all.
No, it's not. And which, with just a couple of minutes left, leads me to ask you and to refer to an article that you wrote titled Doug Casey on the Rise of Alternatives as the U.S.-led Global Order Falters. My engineer is telling me we have 3 minutes left, so maybe you could, 2 minutes actually, comment on that article, because I think what you were talking about was the decline of the U.S. geopolitically and economically and socially in almost every way, and that's going to have ramifications for how we invest our money, obviously, as the dollar ultimately going to post.
Well, I've long been an advocate, as you know, Jay, of diversifying politically. Mm-hmm. It's wise to diversify financially, of course. Mm-hmm. You don't have all your eggs in one basket. But it's more important in many ways to diversify politically so that if things go wild and crazy here in the U.S., you've got a bolt hole elsewhere. Now, I know that for the average American, that's not a realistic thing to do, mm-hmm. have a vacation home in a second country. And today, it's increasingly impossible for an American even to have a brokerage account or a bank account mm-hmm. in a foreign country.
Yes.
So we're increasingly trapped like lobsters in a lobster trap. I mean, most Americans are unaware of the fact that if you were accused, not adjudicated, but accused of owing the U.S. government $50,000 in taxes, that they will cancel your passport. And I know people this has happened to.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It is the way it is. And I know, of course, you've been an advocate of hard assets, gold and silver and real estate and whatever you can afford. But also, I suppose it makes sense to not make political enemies as well.
Well, I've done plenty of that, frankly. And personally, this is why I live outside of the U.S. more than half of the year. Because in today's world, almost anybody can become an enemy of the state. Like the people that were involved with the Canadian truckers thing some months back, there were 300,000 people whose names were given to the Canadian government that contributed to the truckers and so forth. And they're like on a naughty list in Canada.
Yeah, they're enemies of the state.
Exactly.
All right, we're going to have to leave it go at that, Doug, because we're out of time. But I want to remind people it's Doug Casey's International Man, and they can just go to where? Doug Casey, what was the place to go to?
Just go to internationalman.com.
Internationalman.com and sign up for Doug's almost daily, isn't it, Doug? Almost every day?
Yes, it is every day. And right. I'd like to, it's too bad we don't have time for me to mention my novels.
Well,
I say a lot of things in fiction that you actually dare not say.
All right. Well, we'll have to talk about that another time, Doug, and we can do that if you want to. So, all right, folks, we do have to go, though. That's it for today and all the time we have. Next week, Brian London will be with us, Chen Lin as well. Until then, goodbye and God's blessings to you.
Thank you again for listening to Turning Hard Times into Good Times with Jay Taylor. Please join us again next Tuesday at noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Business Channel.